if someone's ever given you one of those monthly subscription gifts where you get the chocolate of the month, or this is a real one, the socks of the month club, every month you're like, oh, that's a fun little gift, and it reminds you that they were thinking of you. Well, buckle up, Buttercup. We're about to take subscription services to a whole new level. It's the Chicken of the Month Club. That's right. You can join me and other potties and WayFM listeners at fh.org/Wally Show and give two chickens to a different family every month. Now, chickens in these developing countries make a huge difference in the lives of these families. These chickens provide a sustainable source of protein through their eggs every day, which helps nourish malnourished kids. And since chickens multiply quickly, it's a great side hustle for these families in that they can generate income by selling eggs or chicks in the market. And by you doing a $28 a month gift, you can make sure that a different family gets two chickens every month. That's kind of cool and very different. If someone gave me two chickens every month, I wouldn't know what to do with that. But in these other countries, they not only know what to do with them, they're also very thankful for people thinking of them and helping them out of these tough times. So what I love about Food for the Hungry is their mission to end poverty by going to the places and walking with some of the world's most vulnerable people, and they've done it for 50 years. You can trust them and you can do some good right now. So go to fh.org/Wally Show if you want to join our Chicken of the Month Club. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. I have been chomping at the bit to get to this because we did not do this during the regular show, the regular podcast. But for Aftercast, I had to get to Biden's new mandates, President Biden's new mandates. And I saw a headline. This was really interesting because I went to, and the COVID mandates, I should clarify. So he makes this big announcement, six-pronged new approach to COVID. And so I went to ABC News this morning. I kind of look at ABC every day. And I was there, and I found nothing on the mandates. I'm like, what in the world? How? And I kept scrolling. I got all the way down. And I finally got to an opinion piece, like an op-ed piece, that surprised me because it was not putting Biden in the best light, which ABC News and especially George Stephanopoulos loves to do because they hated Trump so much. And they can't ever hate on anything Biden does because then it somehow in their heads gives validity to other things that maybe the right of the country does, you know? Yeah. And so it was just interesting, but I love the title. It says, analysis, Biden's war on virus becomes war on unvaccinated. President Joe Biden has gone from waging war on the virus to a war on the unvaccinated. And as I went back and I watched some of the press conference, you see it and you feel it. You feel it in the angst and in the frustration and the tone of him in this. And Gavin, you got to see a little bit of it today. Did you get that same feeling?
Yeah, everything that they cut up to use for actual, you know, television was like basically him pointing a finger and saying, this is your fault. It's your fault that we have to do all this. Yeah. And I'm going to do everything in my power, basically just to stop you or to make you do what I want. It just felt very...
You have to come into compliance with what I want you to do or else your life is going to be miserable. It's fantastic. For people that were fearing we're moving into a socialistic society with the new regime, this gives a little bit of credibility to because he says we've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin. Like I've always called him get off my lawn Joe because he's that old guy in the neighborhood. Like I'm gonna talk tough on you, get off my lawn. So now you're seeing my bias. Look, I'm not a news guy. I have a bias. I have an opinion, and it may be different than yours, and that's fine. Like we can have that conversation. But I think that even if you are in support of the mandates, because I see both sides of it. I want to be very clear. I see both sides of it. I even see Biden's side. I see Biden's side, and I see him being frustrated by going, I'm just trying to help, and if you guys would all just come into line and do what I want you to do, then everything would be fine. But is that true? It might not be, you know? Like, so, I get his frustration in this, and because he's, I think at his core, he's trying to do what he thinks is the right thing, but it was crazy, because he says, your refusal has cost us all. The unvaccinated minority can cause a lot of damage, and they are. So he's setting people up against each other. Yep. In a world, and he ran on this whole platform of we want unity, bipartisanship, and all this other stuff. He is drawing a line in the sand, and he is dividing people. He is then putting a scarlet letter on people to, in essence, make them identify themselves so that they can then be purposely segregated or ostracized, which is the exact opposite of everything they said they stood for. It's crazy town. And to see it come from him with such anger and vitriol, I think is the big problem. Like, this is not going to be received well. People that already were not getting the vaccine or were on the fence of it, he is going to push them farther away.
Oh, yeah.
Because we don't like anything that even remotely hints at totalitarianism. And that's what this speech really felt like. I had told my wife that his tone was going to be stern and frustrated before I even saw this. That was true, you know. And I think he can't believe that people disagree with him and aren't listening to him as the president. I mean, if I was the president, I would be frustrated by that probably because I'd be like, my word is law and it's smart, but that's not always the case. So what was really interesting was, in essence, he scolded the minority.
He did scold. That is a great word to describe it, because he is just pointing at us like, are you kids?
Well, it's interesting because he says a distinct minority of Americans, but if you look at it, I know right now, the people that have two shots, it's 53%. So that's not a majority, overwhelming majority. Now, the people that have one shot is higher than that. I think it's up around 70. And so odds are they're going to get their other shot, but maybe not. I don't know. But it's not, right now, it's not a lopsided majority, us versus them. But I think that's what they're creating, and that's a real big problem. When you look at the mandate, and this is what I want to talk about too, more so than me just ranting and soapboxing, is what it actually means for you in your world and maybe at your work. This is where it got really interesting. So basically, he said, if you're a government worker, you have to get vaccinated or you're fired. And very plain about it, he's like, if you expect to be a contractor, do business with us or work with us, you are getting vaccinated. If not, you're gone.
Yeah.
Like, no ifs, ands, or buts.
No question.
300,000 educators. They want to make sure that they are getting them vaccinated. Biden announced that he will require 17 million healthcare workers at facilities receiving funds from Medicare and Medicaid. It always comes down
to people.
Well, always comes down to money. That's how you control people, is you control their funds. And so now, if they're not in compliance, the people that run the place need the money. They will then carry out the wishes by forcing the employees to get vaccinated so they can keep the funding going.
Yeah.
And so that's how you control people. What do we do with economic embargoes? Is we throttle people and we don't let goods and services come in. We throttle them so that there is a cost. Then they revolt against the government for change. And so that's the place that we're kind of in with this here. But this was the big one. Biden, through the Labor Department, will require all businesses with 100 or more employees ensure their workers are either vaccinated or tested once a week.
Oh, that's
so every
fun.
Week, you go into your job, if you choose to not be vaccinated for whatever reason, religious, whether it's political, religious, medical, I don't know, whatever your reason is. If you have over 100 employees, you're going to be required to take a test every week because of this new mandate. And
how much are tests? Because that's another part of this.
Yeah, we're spending more money on this stuff, you know? Or you're going to get fired. Like, that's the crazy part of this, is that what if you start firing people for their non-compliance? What does that do to your unemployment? Because right now we have more jobs, like we have so many jobs and people already aren't taking those jobs.
Oh, yeah.
So now if you fire a bunch of people, then you're going to have more people on unemployment. You've just created another cyclical problem. I cannot understand this. And again, I know there's not like a great win in this and you're trying to navigate through it, but boy, howdy. I almost think that if you're the president and the amount of breakthrough illnesses is very low of people who are vaccinated that get the disease, the COVID, get the virus, and then pass away is super low.
Minuscule.
Or even get hospitalized, super low. So it's almost like if you're Biden, like, why don't you just go, well, I guess this problem, if you're really angry at the non-vaccinated, you know, because he's like, you're killing all of us. No, you're not killing the people that are vaccinated. So if you're really mad at them, hands off, and it's going to do what it's going to do. Like laissez-faire, survival of the fittest, it's going to, if this thing is so deadly, if you're not vaccinated, it's going to take your life. That's on you at that point. Again, I'm vaccinated. There are days I regret it.
I was going to ask you that, actually.
I regret it politically. I do. I really do. But I don't regret it when I'm not freaked out about going out to eat or going to a movie. Like, I do appreciate it for that. But boy, howdy, I will never support the government overstepping and mandating these kind of things. Like, it's crazy. Now I'm getting on a soapbox.
Let's go.
If the Democrats and Biden especially, because he's fighting the abortion bill in Texas. Okay, so if you believe it's a woman's right to choose what she does with that fetus and whether she chooses to end that pregnancy and kill that child, you staunchly believe that is her right. You then have to believe it is my right to not take a shot or take a shot and not penalize me for that. Because that's the thing. You have a right to not take the shot, but they're creating it, the environment, so that you will then be penalized and inconvenienced and ostracized and segregated until they get you to comply. So, like, me having my shot now infuriates me as we move into this next round, because I'm part of the problem. I succumb to the government nonsense. And so, yes, am I happy that I'm not worried about it? Fine. But I don't like this place.
Sure.
And I support people that say, hey, I don't want this. I don't think they should be segregated or ostracized or made to jump through all these other hoops. You know, I can still walk around people and be around them. I'm vaccinated. I can hold my breath when they walk by me or cough, and I don't have fear that I'm going to get sick.
Yeah, I think that the image that the news and liberal news and our president is trying to make, the image of people who have not gotten the vaccine that they're trying to create, is that they are just like these idiots out there that, you know, are so dumb and they don't understand what's going on. But there are good people on the side of getting not vaccinated that do have, like, in their heads, like, legitimate reasons for not getting it. And I feel like he just puts them all in this category of idiots. You guys are so wrong. Like, just like, there are good people on both sides of this. And I feel like we're just very eager to forget that when we're trying to point fingers.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting if this is step one.
Well, he's got 3 more years of his presidency.
Yeah, where do we go for step two?
It's a long time.
So we'll keep watching that. You keep watching that, and we'll have these discussions, continuing. But it's Friday. Let's go to some Lisa These, Gavin, that you got. Something a little more fun. I've got some other stuff, but I really don't feel like ranting
anymore.
Yeah,
let's have some fun to go into this weekend
I'm
with.
I'm ranted out.
Good. Okay, so I'd never actually seen this until today, but it was, I think, 7 years ago. Idina Menzel won an Oscar for Let It Go.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that should win an Oscar every year in my mind. But John Travolta was the one who was going to call her to the stage because she was about to perform Let It Go. But he goes up, is inviting her to the stage, and, like, fumbles her name, which, I mean, a name is a name and it can be complicated, but his is great.
Not even close.
No.
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
At the time, this is one of the biggest things around.
Yes.
And like, how, as an entertainer, you would be unaware of who she is. You're reading it off a teleprompter.
She's probably like right there. Like she's.
Does he have like dyslexia maybe? And maybe that messed him up or something? Like, I could see that. If I had to read something off a teleprompter, I would be wrecked. But if somebody were to tell me, hey, you're going to introduce Idina Menzel, oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
Or did he have like a miniature stroke? Or, like, what happened?
Or like, even if he did, because they don't actually, I didn't see anything that explained like what happened.
No. Uh-uh.
But if you know that you messed up,
right?
Because it's funny if he didn't know that he messed up. Either, but if you know that you messed up, you kind of sit back there for a second and you're like, well, that was really bad.
Yeah.
Idina Menzel, like, hopefully he can redeem it. But
maybe he didn't know who she was.
Maybe not.
In his own little Hollywood hideaway there and had no idea.
Yeah, I don't know if he's sitting down with kids watching Let It Go, but it was like the biggest thing of 2014. But Idina actually very recently explained that that was honestly a good thing.
Oh,
she said
really?
That it made her nervous because she spent the first few minutes of singing that song being like, man, he messed up my name. But then she got into a good zone. But nowadays she says that he is so apologetic and sends so many like nice emails and texts saying that he's so sorry.
Oh,
but
really?
He's so nice to her now. I don't know if he wasn't nice. Again, he might not have known her.
Right.
But he's never going to forget her either.
I actually have friends of mine that are friends of his. You
oh,
know?
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And so I've never asked them about this. I haven't talked to them in a while. It was when I was living in California. And so, like, I never got a chance to ask them about this scenario, but they've actually said he's a really nice guy.
I believe that.
Like, he's unusual, but he's actually, like, a nice guy.
Yeah, he's had, like, an unusual film career as a whole.
But. Yeah. That's a funny thing. I was more mad at Indina on that one because she changed the melody at the end of Let It Go.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason, because the cold never bothered me anyway. And she goes, the cold never bothered me anyway. Like, I'm like, ooh, why are you changing it?
Don't mess up your classic.
Yes. Like, it's
your hit.
Perfect, like it was. Why did you change the end of that, Indina? I'm sorry, Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem. Miss Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem plays by her own rules, I guess.
That's funny.
Yeah. All right, well, let's do some weekend plans.
Weekend plans.
We'll have to catch up with Betty on her a whole week out in Washington State with her roommate, Nicole, and coming back and bringing a cat back.
Yep.
And she is going to be so furious when she gets back. So be ready for her on Monday.
Oh.
The couch. Okay. She has half the couch that I sold her. It's a sectional, but I was waiting on my couch to come in, and it hasn't come in yet. It's 2 weeks overdue now, and so I still have the other half of her couch. So I know she's just expecting to come home, and I told her I would put it in her house for that. The other half of her couch is there, and it ain't there, and it ain't gonna be there because I have no idea when Lazy Boy is gonna actually get this thing delivered to me. So I'm not gonna look forward to that conversation on Monday.
Yeah,
but it'd be good to have her back, but that's not gonna be fun. But boy, if that comes in today or tomorrow, my weekend plan is getting that in her house.
Redemption.
Oh, for sure. I'm working on a new guitar. I'm building a bass this time with one of my favorite body shapes that I've always wanted, and so I'm gonna do that.
What color will this be?
This is gonna be a shiny black and a matte black mixed together with some stripes. So
that's super cool.
Hopefully it'll be cool. And so I'm gonna do that, and I'm going to go see a movie. I'm going to go see that Ten Rings. And that's pretty much it. I think
sounds
I'm
like
going to ride
a
little
weekend.
Bit. Yeah, I'll ride too at some point in there. So what do you got?
I think our church is doing this like young adults college game night at the church tonight.
Cool.
So that'll be a fun thing to
do. Oh, you love
to.
Game nights. What's your go-to game?
Go-to game right now. We've been actually getting into Settlers of Catan, which is a game for 24 years of my life I really have never cared for. But ever since we played, like, I think it was like New Year's last year. Like, it clicked that I was like, oh, I understand what I need to do now. And I've never won yet.
I haven't either.
I still like playing it.
It took me a while to understand it. Zach and his wife, Zach used to be on the show, and his wife, Sarah, were super into it. Zach had his own cards made up for things to, like, help him figure out how he wanted to do stuff. And,
strategy stuff.
Way into it, yeah.
That's
but
weird.
The big shock was how competitive his wife was.
Oh, Sarah?
Oh, yeah. Like, Sarah played to win, and, like, I thought, oh, okay, we'll do some deals together. She was a slumlord. Like, she was not, because you have to negotiate and stuff like that. It's not a typical board game. But yeah, she was rough, and I think she won like every time. Like, she was just a baller in that game.
That's funny. Haley is like really competitive. Most of the time we play, she still kind of like offers me guidance because I'm still a newbie with it. But I think as soon as there was one game we were playing one time with her parents, and this was like a really long time ago, but her parents were gonna let me have something, even though I did something wrong.
And she went nuts.
Haley went berserk. And she may deny this story, but that was the first time that I thought in my head, I was like, we're never going to play games again. Like, this might not be a good part of our relationship, because she used to be uber competitive.
Yeah.
She has gotten much more level-headed about a bunch of things in the last few years, whether it's like driving or stuff like that, but That one time, that scared me.
I'm the competitive one in my family, and if I'm not winning, I sulk, my wife says. But, like, she's a rules person. So if you put a card down, like, I could put a card down, like, and literally this fast. Okay, so here's the card hitting the table. oh, wait a second, and then go to pick it back
up. She doesn't let you.
If my hand even got a hair above it and was off of it, nope, you can't do that. You took your hand off of it. Like, I almost got in an argument with the whole table I was at because they all went after me.
I will flip this table.
Even Greg and Molly's mom, or Molly's mom, who's 80, like, went at me because she wanted the card that I put down. And I'm like, what in the world, Juju? Dial it back.
That's great.
And like, I was like they were all going at me. And I should have been able to pick the card back up. But it was just, it was insanity. Because we play canasta. Like, we play canasta every weekend. And so it's just, it's really, we get to dinner, we do dessert, and we play cards.
Nice.
And I love that. It's a lot of fun.
What is canasta? I actually have never played that before.
It's just a card game. You use like three decks of cards. So you're basically trying to get all of one number or all of one face card. You gotta get seven of them to then be able to go out. So if you never get seven of those, you can't even go out, and you get points held against you in your hand, stuff like that.
Okay.
It has a lot of rules. It's a little confusing at first, but once you get it, it's actually fun. I don't see how it's an old person game, because you get 15 cards, and old people, they have a hard time holding that many
cards.
But they always consider it an old person's game. But I do like that. But my wife is, she gets competitive with that stuff for sure. And I guess I do too. Like, I'm uber competitive when it comes to game. When it comes to life, you know,
that's just wired 100% that way. True.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do some birthdays.
Okay. There was actually no birthdays again today.
Wow. September.
I've got some that are going to be for next week, but we'll celebrate them
next week when Betty's here.
Get to them. Do you want a question?
Give me a question.
Okay. Where was it? If you had a personal billboard, so if you got, you just, you know, no money, it's free. What would you put on it?
Oh, you could do anything with it?
Yeah. Are you going to put a message?
Right, yeah. You're going to do like the Jesus Saves billboard?
You're going to get a little political?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Oh, boy, that's a really good question. If I was single, I would use it to find somebody. Like, if Betty Rock was here, I would get her a billboard. You know, because it works. Like, you meet people that way. It does work. I've seen guys do that.
There's
before.
That one story of the guy who made his own dating website, but he was the only option.
So smart.
So
200
boom.
Dates. Like she could do that. I keep telling her, man, like, when you're ready to do this, I will get you a date and married in probably 6 months' time from the radio show. But
I believe
she's not ready to do that yet. What would I have on that? Do you have any thoughts on that, Gavin? I'm trying
to
processing it.
I think that
it's a good question.
I wouldn't mind. Okay, I don't have aspirations to be a model at any point in my life. I know what I
it's
look
probably
like
healthy
from the beard down.
It's probably a good idea.
But in my head, from the beard up,
yeah.
Okay, beard to the nose.
Okay,
I, even my hair, I'm not. Okay, I wouldn't mind being like a beard model,
like a cheek model, a beard model.
Yeah, okay. I feel like if I just put my beard and then some contact information, if anyone just needs a good beard model, beard model.
Okay,
model. I would be your guy.
Okay, I get that. I think I would probably want to put something funny on there that really didn't matter or have any significance. It was one of those just bizarre things that made people, as they were driving, go, wait, what is that? You know?
Yeah.
It was funny. I was on a billboard one time.
Really?
Yeah. They did a billboard for our show one time years ago. And what was really funny was it was a full size billboard. But it was not the paper kind, I guess, that they used to put up there with paste or whatever. It was vinyl. And so when they took it down, they gave it to me. And so I'm like, well, what do we do with this? And at the time, we had a lady on the show named Katie Rose. She was a producer on the show and a co-host, and love Katie, great person. And she had just moved into a new house. So when she wasn't there, we went and wrapped her new house with the billboard banner of my face. And it was just kind of funny, like, oh, geez, what's just moved into this neighborhood? You know, it's like,
this weirdo.
I got this giant thing wrapping all around her house. That was kind of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we are going to get out of here. Enjoy your weekend, and we will do this all again Monday. And thanks for being a potty.